We'll make a start. So, good morning. My name is Rachel Bauer. I'm a French academic in Sheffield Business School. I'm going to talk about audio and video feedback for employability skills in real-world authentic assessment. So I'm trying to cover lots of bases in 20 minutes. So what I hope to give you today are some examples of authentic real-world assessment, so developing those employability skills. I've done quite a lot of work on audio feedback, so how I'm incorporating audio and video feedback into formative and summative assessment, and some of the qualitative and quantitative feedback I've had from students and external examiners to validate what I'm doing here. So obviously employability skills are a real high priority for HE institutions, but also for students themselves. So looking back at some module feedback here, what are the two things that have had the most positive impact on your learning on my module? The assessments have been useful in preparing me for my placement, so directly developing skills for the workplace. It's been a real preparation for future employment. And these are actually students at level 5, so they're not quite ready to graduate yet, but we're really developing those employability skills early on in the course. So I'm going to talk about two modules that are delivered to home, EU and international students. And in the business school, we're bidding for accreditation for the Association to Advance Collegiate Schools of Business. So these modules are part of that bid. So again, we're looking for accreditation in terms of innovation, impact and engagement, and also looking at wider preparation for the workplace, as well as those key employability skills that we're all familiar with, but also how we can develop ethical behaviour in the workplace, collegiality, intercultural skills, and corporate and social responsibility. So these modules are developed in a wider context of that accreditation as well. So the first module I'd like to talk about is Contemporary and Professional Studies 2 in French, which until last year was called BSc 2 French. So that's why you'll see some reference to BSc2, but anyway, we've revalidated this as the new type of the module. Just to put this module in context, so these are specialist language students studying one or two languages with international business, teaching English or tourism, and as part of the course they need to have a compulsory 6-month study period abroad and a compulsory 12-month work placement abroad, and the compulsory is obviously the key word there. So it's really, really important, this module, in terms of preparing them for the study and the work placement. And so our assessments are really geared up to that preparation. And what it is a CV and an application letter and company research, but this is for a real placement in a real French company. So obviously there's lots of companies I work with, and this is what the companies who can offer something for you this year. This is the role you're applying for. It's all real. And obviously that company research is really important, making sure they understand how you prepare for an interview, that it can't be just a quick 5 minutes look at the homepage of the company website. There's got to be a lot of research and finding out about the company so you can convince the interviewer that you are the person for the job. So obviously very, very key assessment as learning there. So we're developing these skills here to be able to apply for jobs, to convince the interview to be successful in gaining that job. And the formative nature is really important for this. So I spend a lot of time allowing them to submit drafts and of their letter and their CV to me for that formative feedback. So it's very important for the content, so making sure that they're demonstrating themselves as an individual, everything that they've got to offer. And sometimes students don't really understand the value of things they've done previously. So it's teasing all that out of them. Also making sure the language is perfect, that this is the best representation of them that they can do as a person and in the language. And also looking at the cultural differences, so how you present a CV and a letter of application in French is very different to how you do it in English, so a lot of that conversation there as well. And also how you're presenting yourself formally in that context. And it's really, really important, because obviously if they can't convince with this document, that's all the company's going to judge them on initially. The CV and the letter arrive, they can't convince the company to give them an interview, they can't secure an interview, if they can't secure a placement, then they have to change courses. It is really high stakes because of the placement being compulsory. But obviously it has a high value for the students because of the compulsory nature of the placement, but they do really value it in terms of being a real world assessment. This is obviously something they're going to have to do on graduation as well. So what the assessment consists of is a one-to-one telephone interview with the tutor. I did a similar undergraduate course myself, and my tutor was a lot meaner, and they used to sit on the third floor and phone me on the second floor. I'm not quite as cruel as that. I will turn my back, but it's very much about having no facial contact, no body language, no interaction face to face, because obviously that sort of communication is much more difficult than face to face, particularly with the language of not being able to read body language and facial expression as well. So we do make it tough for them. A lot of them are very nervous about it, and we do obviously a lot of formative practice in class, but actually when they come out of it, they say, well, actually that wasn't too bad, and you know, the results speak for themselves, that they do actually do well with this. And what happens after that is they're applying for a range of placements via their CV and the application letter. They can apply for the one they've done for the assessment, but obviously there's only one placement going. And just to say, they're all competing against each other as well for these placements. So my predecessor used to line them up, and I said, well, I think that would be the right one for you, and I think that would be the right one for you, and that's really not how I wanted to approach it, because obviously in the real world it's certainly not like that. And I wanted to try and create the graduate job application process in a supportive environment, but to make it as real as possible. So they'll be applying. Many companies now want to do the interviews via Skype or telephone or face to face. So within the lesson, within the assessment, we've tried to develop all those scenarios. And something that I found particularly pleasing, my previous external examiner was at the University of Manchester, so their language course is obviously more of a pure language course without the additional international business or tourism, TESOL, etc. And many language students on a traditional course would go and be a language assistant abroad, and they'd be teaching, so they'd be preparing really for a teaching career. But actually, my external was finding that many students didn't want to do that. They wanted to actually go and work in a business. They wanted to have those sort of skills instead for their time abroad. So she adopted my assessment to deliver there on her courses. So some validation there. So looking at the qualitative and quantitative feedback from the students, that they do value this assessment, it's relevant, it's useful, it's authentic, and it's developing those employability skills ready for the workplace. I've had 100% pass rate over the last 7 years, so the time that I've been teaching on this module, and it is 100% on this task, so you know that there's a lot of pressure to achieve. And also 100% securing the compulsory placement in France. So there's never been anybody I've not been able to place, but there's a few grey hairs and lines, so it's not an easy process, obviously. It takes a lot of time, a lot of support. As I say, they're competing against each other, so again, it's that self-belief and the esteem that they can keep going, that they are going to secure a placement in the end. So that's a lot about that, and obviously about my professional relationship with the companies as well, that they still want to keep working with Hallam. I do have a lovely email from one of the line managers I work with saying that really impressed with Hallam students. They will always be her first choice. They'll have first choice on the all the placements that are going. So again, it's about developing that relationship there. So this is some of the feedback that students have given me on this module. So they feel really prepared to go abroad now, which is quite an achievement because they're only 19 and they're going abroad for 18 months, and that's quite scary. And, you know, I tell them it's absolutely fine to be scared, to be nervous. It would be strange if you weren't, but slightly more excited than nervous. That's where I want them to be at the end. Everything seems relevant, so we obviously do a lot of teaching about the French workplace and cultural and professional differences that they're likely to encounter. The CV and cover letter work has helped us not just for the exam, but also in the future. And even though I found them difficult, I feel they were really worth it. Because I am known as a teacher who challenges them a lot and pushes them, come on, come on, come on. So they know that I will keep pushing them. But what I say is that I want them to have a CV and a letter that is perfect in terms of the language, but also reflects them as a person, that they feel very proud of this is what they're able to offer a company. And the Skype and interviews help for the real thing. So to incorporate in the audio and video feedback, so we did quite a bit of Skype interview practice in class, so I'm lucky enough to work in a room with computers, so we could set that up. They chose who they worked with, sitting, so obviously they were physically quite close, but they were interacting everything through the screen on Skype. Some of them were quite reluctant to do that, nervous, not quite sure whether they wanted to do all that, but I did say, well, it is important, this is a growing trend, there's more companies are going to be asking you to do a Skype interview, so let's get some practice done. And actually researching it and looking at talking to colleagues in the career service, there's not actually a lot of I certainly didn't find much training in terms of Skype video practice and how to develop those skills. So we did lots of practice in class, and I also got them to work with peers, so to give each of them to have a practice, but then carry on the conversation in terms of feedback to each other. This is the things that you contributed well, but you know that your hair's sticking up over there and you've got something strange behind you on the screen and things like that. So all those other dynamics they need to think about in video, about how you're communicating, is there eye contact or are you tempted to look at the camera, which I still always find quite difficult. And the body language and all those extra things that the interviewer can be looking at, and how professional you are in your presentation. Because they'll be used to Skyping each other with friends, but obviously completely different when it's an interview. Also looking at audio and video, so they get audio feedback from me. So I send them our assessment or our audio, so they can then look at and listen to that again when they're having the real interviews in the future. So most of them won't have got to the placement by this point, so they've still got a lot of work to do, looking back at my feedback, listening again, how they were, the content that they were saying, how they were answering the questions, what was their French accent like. Again, they can keep looking back and improving. So again, it's not just about the assessment, and that's the end of it, they've got the mark, it's really looking forward to the future to refer back, and real authentic, because this is going to be real interviews that are going to come up, and most of them will have, you know, 3 or 4 interviews before they secure a placement, so they do know that there's a lot of work ahead. So again, looking at the employability skills on the module and how we can develop them further, referring back to what we're trying to develop for the accreditation, so ethical behaviour, intercultural skills, corporate and social responsibility. So I'm now looking again at the content of the module to make sure that I'm including those, and I'm thinking about whether I can incorporate this in any of the assessment. I am constrained that this is the assessment task that we've got at the moment of the interview, and you know, I really want to keep that, but how we can build in these things and how we might assess them. At the moment, currently non-assessed, so we're looking at case studies, articles, the French media, videos, but a lot of discussion, because some of this is how you're going to interact with colleagues on a day-to-day basis, and how you might be surprised that this is how a French company would do it, or this is how people would talk to each other in the French workplace, and how that would be very different from an English workplace. workplace. But one comment I have there, a lot of insight into French businesses and how they run. And obviously it can only be an insight because each company will be different and different cultures when they get there, but again they've had a bit of an insight. Another module I'd like to talk about, which I deliver with my lovely colleague here, Diana, and this is another new module that we've revalidated the whole course and really revalidated this module a lot as well. It's study and research skills for business, so again we're trying to cover a lot within one module. It's a level 6 module for international students, and we get a really mixed cohort of different nationalities, which again brings a great dynamic to the module. We have various strands where we're developing their academic skills, but we're particularly looking at developing their skills for the business workplace. First of all, we have a business debate assessment, so we're simulating a business debate. We have a real company, we set a scenario that's authentic and relevant, and then they need to take on a role, so they might be the finance director, the marketing director, etc. They need to go away and they need to find out data and statistics and information about that role within the company. So how does Tesco market, whatever it might be? They need to come to the assessment armed with all this data and the statistics to support their viewpoint, and we set them a particular business question to debate, and they need to communicate and debate, put forward their opinion on that. So what we're looking to develop is those employability skills. So again, you go to work in the company, these students will probably be working in an international context with many different nationalities. How will they interact and how will they make key business decisions? How will they communicate and put their viewpoint forward? So debate and negotiation, thinking about professional register and the level of formality, which might be different between different cultures, how you're communicating in a formal way, your confidence to put your viewpoint forward, and also to convince others that yours is the path that they should take. So these are some comments that our external examiners just sent us, so the first cohort that have done this assessment. So a very realistic debate, employing language and skills required for effective communication. And when we look at employability skills, the list can change and depending where you're looking at it, but communication does tend to be top of the list there. There was an impressive range of communicative devices used, and the students worked well together to develop a constructive discussion on a highly relevant topic. So they've really demonstrated their skills there, and again we've kept it authentic and real life. Audio feedback there, we do a practice of the debate where they can have lots and lots of feedback, and I just keep the recording running where I give them group feedback, individual feedback, and then they can take that away and again listen to it before the actual assessment. I do have some problems with file sizes sometimes because as you probably noticed I talk quite a lot, so sometimes I have to put them on a CD because they're too big to email, but anyway it still works as a concept. Another part of this module is where we work with Hallam's Venture Matrix team, so if you're not familiar with them, they are fantastic, about their relationship with companies. They can bring in a company and a particular project, and the students work with them. So students work with a local company, there's a real-life business problem. So, for example, we had a very small company who were just wanting to expand their sales and marketing. We had a larger, well-established company who were looking for new export markets. So there were real business problems that the students needed to work in small groups to research and propose recommendations. So they did visit the company and interact with the company via email or short meetings. So again, it was real life interaction there. Thinking about the professional behaviours that they'd adopt in meeting a CEO and going into the company. And also an insight into how the company runs on a day-to-day basis and the sort of problems that international companies are faced with at the moment. Students presented their findings and recommendations to the company in a very formal way through an assessed written report. So obviously that was developing and evidencing their academic research skills and their written communication. And also a formal presentation to the company where the CEO came in and they needed to present very formally their research and their recommendations. And then they have access to the audio and video from that presentation to again refer to in the future and keep developing. And I would say as well that students on this course, it's called a graduate diploma, so it's a bridging course between undergraduate and master's study. So a lot of these international students, they want to come to the UK and they want a master's. They want a master's, and that's the focus of a lot of their reasons for joining. But Diana and I feel that it's really important that they're having that exposure to business and they are really having interaction with the company as well. So we were wondering, you know, what the value they place on this part of the assessment, whether they prefer to be more academic research, which is what they're working towards for their masters. But if we look at some of their comments, I asked them to do an individual self-reflection on a couple of areas. So what professional or employability skills have you gained in working with the company? So again, some really key points there as well about understanding how companies operate. They've got some work experience there. They've developed their employability skills in terms of decision making and analysis, and also working together in teams and with the company, and obviously the intercultural dynamic, which was very important there. How you develop personally as a result of this project. So it's very much about taking them out of the comfort zone, going into the company, having to research and find recommendations on a real problem. So again, we had some good feedback on how they've applied the theory that they've been learning in their business modules, on confidence and creativity, looking to develop their own company and being able to present more confidently. And again, some cultural things that they've found out there. And again, applying the theory to the real company, obviously that was really important academically, that we wanted to close the loop there of the theory and its application to real life. So some positive feedback there. So this feedback would suggest, so there's feedback from students, there's feedback from external examiners, that these are authentic, real-world assessments, and that they deliver on several levels in terms of students' professional skills, their personal development, and on an academic level. And very important for me is that they continue to develop after the end of the assessment, and they don't just fire it away, but they use it for the future, post-assessment, post-study, into the workplace. Okay. Any questions? Yeah.
When you're providing audio feedback, do you have a criteria or a list of things that or do you have an assessment criteria?
Yes, so if it's, it depends where we're at. So for quite early on, it's more about encouragement or specific language areas they might need to work from. That might be quite fluid, but as we're working closer to the assessment, yes, we're certainly looking at the criteria. But I think the beauty of the audio is that it can be very flexible and it can be very personalised as well. So some of them will be, you know, some of it be more fine-tuning for some students, and some will be right, well, no, come on, we've really got to look at the content here of the marking criteria. So I'd say I'm pretty flexible on that.
So can I ask you some more about mechanics? So how often are you giving feedback?
On the schedule for the module, we'll have a certain session which is the formative practice of the sort of official one where we're doing that. So that would be once on that debate one and once on the presentation to the company. So one quite high level one, but certainly on the Skype practice, for example, when it was peer feedback, when we did that at least twice in within an 11-week module. So I suppose some of it you see what the students need, don't you, really, and how often you need to. It sounds a lot, but actually all it is a click of a button, carry on talking, which I'll do, and then email it. Yes, sorry.
In the first one, with the when you were doing the CVs,
yes.
It sounded like it was quite heavy on time for feedback there.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's numbers vary on cohorts, but yeah, it's quite a few students, and so it will take.
Because if
a
it's coming back and then going back again, and coming back and going back again, it sounds like it's probably fairly intensive
feedback. Yes. Yeah.
I've got a follow-up question to that. It's about resources. Do you feel two parts of this? I'm interested in how the placement is actually resourced for the student. Do they get any support with travel costs, with anything like that?
Right. If they're working in Europe, so obviously, you know, there could be other. They could go to French-speaking Canada, for example. But most of them will go to France.
Yeah.
They get a grant from Europe called the Erasmus Grant.
Oh, so it's Erasmus funding.
It's Erasmus funding.
Okay.
But that's been tinkered a lot with recently. So that's, you know, it's not always guaranteed. We do have to say, well. Previous students have got this. This is approximately amount, but we never get the confirmation until they've already gotten how much money they're going to get. They are paid on placement, so I refuse to work with any companies that don't pay. So there's no unpaid placements. But Monsieur Arlon doesn't help me a lot because, much as I love him, the French law is complicated certainly. But I have a background in law anyway, but it's what I say that the law allows them to be paid very little.
Yeah.
Again, I only have two companies I work with in that way, and I feel that if the student can manage, and obviously you have to have a very personal discussion on that, don't apply if you can't manage.
Yeah.
But I feel the experience they get and that company, it repays it if they can manage financially. But yeah, it's very difficult. Recessions obviously impacted, and companies are, like any company, they're looking, well, do I really need somebody? Mm. Is this person going to meet my requirements? So, yeah.
And is the Erasmus bid, is that an umbrella bid that the university submits? Or
yeah, so we work with central Erasmus colleagues, and we say this is how many students are going to be doing this placement, this is how much funding, or how many students we need to fund.
Yeah.
And obviously we keep them updated, but because it's compulsory, really, we're hoping for the money we've asked for, because
yeah, sure.
We hope all our students will actually go. So.
Mm-hmm. And the other part of the question was your own time, your question. Apart from the time implication for giving feedback, do you feel that you are given enough time to manage this module and everything that goes with it, particularly the partnerships? I suspect the partnerships with the hosts is very time consuming.
This is a taught module, a preparation module, but I wasn't, until a few weeks ago, also placement officer for France, so I had all that responsibility. So I shouldn't say how many hours on my work plan per student to place them with compulsory. It's very, very little.
There's a lot of goodwill going into it.
Sounds like it's
above and beyond.
Yes.
But with a will for them to succeed.
Yes.
So
but I probably, from my own experience, obviously, I'm not a native speaker, going and living there, that's how you become fluent. So.
So, on a very basic level, because I've only been here for 2 months, how do you actually go about giving, recording your audio feedback?
In the business school, but I'm sure they've probably got some centrally, so it's just a little device, it's literally press
like
play.
A dictaphone.
Yeah, it's like a dictaphone.
And then
it's
on a USB stick,
exactly,
is it?
Yeah.
Jones would be worth talking to, because he does a lot of feedback on coaching.
Some discipline is actually our discipline, we actually have all got individual ones now.
Because
we do quite a lot of audio feedback, so.
Audio.
Yeah, so we all have individual ones supplied by the
And are you giving audio feedback on, so obviously this is very practically.
Yes.
Are you giving audio feedback on written submissions?
Not yet, we just do audio feedback on practical assessment, okay. Because we do a lot of practical assessment.
Do you audio on written? Instead, and do you do,
yeah.
So we've obviously moved to the online submission assignments now. Yeah, I can't read on the screen either, so I should print them out and then type it back in. But so do you give audio feedback instead of, and just don't make any written comments on that piece of work? Do you do both?
Depends where I am. If it's formative, I usually put some written in there because you
okay.
can show terms what you've done. But if it's formative, then I'll talk into this thing.
Okay.
And I have to work up on screen, and I may highlight sections as I go along,
okay.
so they know that I'm on page 3.
Yeah.
And I have the mark criteria in front of me.
Okay.
And I'll say, right, I'm going to talk to you about your structure and use of references.
Okay.
Now.
And you actually give all your
feedback. And you build the structure, like say. So the first thing you say, John Smith feedback on assignment so and so, David Jones, etc. So you start structuring it so you can find stuff.
Yeah.
And then I download that straight onto a computer, and then you can drag them onto a drag them into Outlook
okay.
and email onto to students from there.
So you
have
Grade Centre
and
all our audio feedback to Grade Centre. And it's given to the externals as well, because the externals have access to the site. But our audio feedback, we've been doing it quite some years now, so we've become quite rigorous with, so we have strict guidelines on how to start, what information,
what's your
area,
sorry?
So it's not practical skills, but it's also on research and knowledge, research environments, then we've also done audio. So the written assessment is annotated. That's the only thing that we do differently is at the moment we're annotating written assessments. But we are trying to do inclusivity, aren't we?
Yeah.
So with the inclusivity that we're developing under Dave Lomas and Ed, what's his name?
Inman.
We're thinking about doing all audio, apart from obviously then we need to think about transcription for students that are partially...
Visually impaired. But the other thing that if we are doing formative assessment and it's in a practical, then we ask them if they want to record it on their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually automatically record it, but they can record it on their own devices if they wish for formative.
We've previously done in the old MSE the videos, which were really good, weren't they, for the international students when they came over to look at their handling skills, because they're very, very good with their research knowledge and their theoretical knowledge, but their actual handling skills was quite poor, consistently international skills. They used a video, maybe a handling skill that would do a patient, and then they had to critique that and present it back, which was a really nice way of using
that was their
summative visual technology.
Assessment, where they had to record themselves doing it, and then they had to feedback on the effectiveness, etc., of the technique, but also on their own performance,
which
actually
worked
really nice.
And again,
with that, we used audio feedback on our in relation to the marking, the written marking criteria, so the learning outcomes and the planning. So over the years, we've kind of we have to make sure that we use the right words, so that there is clarity in the differentiation between bands, so that we are using the right language for the different bands. If we said something's really good, then
same.
We'll give it all.
It's the same as the right.
So it's the same.
Yeah,
it is, but you have to just, you can really easily slip into it in verbal without realising it.
Mm-hmm.
So you do need your written criteria beside you to make sure you're using the right language.
Yeah,
but it is quite a time-effective way of delivering
instant
feedback,
mm-hmm.
and they like that. The international students like it as well, because they've got it and they can go back and listen again, and they can take their time to interpret it.
Yeah. We don't try and keep it to 5 minutes as well, don't we? It's short, very
because if it's
clear,
too long, they can address it.
I read something that 2 minutes of audio feedback is equivalent to 4 pages of paper.
Yeah.
So it is.
Yeah.
It is definitely worth it.
We've also not had any problems with, we don't appear to have had any problems with access. Since she's very nasal at the moment, so we have more to do.
But our colleagues are presenting later, aren't they, on screencasting for distance learning, which is obviously a combination of the two. So whether we as a department go on for our assignments in screencasting, with obviously the written mark criteria, because then point to the criteria and then elaborate further. Because we do find when it comes to the actual assignments, the feedback is they don't quite understand the feedback, and it doesn't, they don't get enough feedback. And we annotate, and then we give them a general consensus of what that annotation means, and then say refer to annotation. So we sometimes feel like being a bit stir crazy as to, you know, how much do you want?